Hey, welcome to this session here at Harbor Pepperdine Bible Lectures 2018. I don't know if they're planning to drop the subtitle at some point, but anyway, how do you feel about the new name? Everybody getting used to it?
Yeah.
All right, great. So, it is, isn't it? Just one word to type that. So, welcome to this class entitled The Spirit of God in the Old Testament. That title may be a little bit narrower than all the things that we may talk about. Please come on in. We only have one empty chair at the moment, but you're certainly welcome to crowd it any old way you can. Now, I do need to start with a little bit of a disclaimer here. This particular presentation has been rated H. By the Classification and Rating Administration for pervasive use of the Hebrew language throughout. So I will be doing a little bit of controlled speaking in tongues here in just a few minutes. It's really important, and I generally don't like to get too deep into the weeds into the Hebrew language when I'm just trying to teach a Bible class. But in this particular case, we really have to. We really have to talk about the phrasing because that will help you understand how different angles on certain passages might yield different sorts of perceptions. And you know, we use, even in English, different people use the same word to mean different things. And the same person can use a single word to mean different things, right? So to illustrate that, what do you see on the screen here? What are these?
Nachos.
What are these?
Fries.
Okay, so you're clearly all Americans, right? Because Americans see, or at least U.S. Americans see chips and fries, right? Whereas Brits see crisps and chips.
Yes.
Okay. So this is going to be important for us to keep this in mind, that sometimes the same word may refer to different things. And even Americans don't always use this consistently, right? So if we're talking about chips and guacamole, these are chips. If we're talking about fish, these are chips, right? Even in American English, even here in Southern California. So when we Christians use the word spirit, or Spirit of God, our mind tends, I think, to go almost immediately to a Trinitarian perspective, right? And we think about one of the persons of the Trinity as the Holy Spirit. But it turns out that the word Spirit can be used in a lot of different ways, even in English. So we think about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We might also talk about restless spirits if you're into, you know, haunted house tours in New Orleans or anything like that. We might think about school spirit, and we would use the same word. We might even think about, no, we wouldn't. We're all good Church of Christ people. We're not thinking about distilled spirits to use this word. The point being, you might think of mineral spirits to strip paint off of an old dresser. The point being, the word spirit in English means a lot of different things. We can use it in a lot of different ways. And the same thing is true of the word ruach in Hebrew. The word ruach. Now, I see a gentleman taking photographs of these slides, which is perfectly fine. However, let me just mention to you that there's a PDF available online that you can download. And the way you download that is bit.ly/otspirit18. And you can have the PDF right there. And that would save you from any distortions due to the rippling of the screen or whatever. So this word right here, I'm sorry, bit.ly/otspirit18. Run that all together like one word. So this Hebrew word is ruach. We say ruach. Everybody say ruach.
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 Yeah, good. Okay. So ruach. And in biblical Hebrew, the basic meaning of ruach, the basic physical material meaning of ruach is wind. Okay, basic physical material meaning is wind, and by extension, breath. So the wind that goes in and out of the human body, the breath. By extension of that, since breath is so intimately connected with life, we get an extended meaning where ruach, when in relation to a sentient being, refers to, or can refer to, that sentient being's sense of self. Right? So you might get in the Psalms, you might get a psalmist talking to or about their own spirits. They're talking, that's how you say, you know, I says to myself, self I says, but in biblical Hebrew you say spirit, my spirit says, to express that sense of self. Then another sense of ruach is an individual component of that sense of self, some quality that you have within you. You might think about the New Testament phrase, God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? So that's ruach is used in that sense to mean a quality of something. And then it appears to be the case that the Old Testament also uses the word ruach to refer to disembodied or non-corporeal entities, creatures that we might call angels this side of the Hellenistic world, this side of Greek, but that they call sometimes ruach. All right, so we have a variety, really, of senses, of basic senses, this word ruach can have. And we need to be aware of those as we look at various passages in the Old Testament. Now, we also need to dig a little bit into some grammar, and I warned you, I put up the big blue screen, so here we go. I need to remind you of the difference in most languages between definite and indefinite nouns, right? Definite and indefinite. So in English, we say the spirit to mean a particular spirit. That's definite. That's our definite article, right? Anybody feel like you're back in eighth grade? And the indefinite, we say a spirit, to just refer to any old spirit or the idea of a spirit in general, or we're not specifying a particular spirit, right? So a spirit, but that's the indefinite article. Now, in Hebrew, what we do is we say for the definite, we say ha ruach. So the ha on the front makes it definite. But look at this. This is actually important. There's no indefinite article in Hebrew. To say a spirit, we just say spirit. Right? That's going to become important when we put it together with another little tidbit from Hebrew later on. Now, this is where we really get deep into the Hebrew weeds, and I do apologize if you start to glaze over a little bit here. But in Hebrew, you have a particular kind of construction. Hebrew is, biblical Hebrew, I sometimes describe it as an adjective-poor language. It doesn't have as many adjectives attested in biblical Hebrew as we would kind of expect from the way that we write and read in English. And so there are other ways to express this relationship. There are also a number of relationships between words that we in English express using prepositions, and Hebrew expresses using word order instead. So there are fewer words. But that does make it more ambiguous at times. So we have this relationship between two nouns called the supported noun and the supporting noun. Right? And then when you put those side by side, you just put them in order. Sometimes you change the spelling of this word just a tiny bit, and you get an implied relationship for which there is no word in between, where we in English would normally put a word in between. So, for example, here's, I'm going to give you several examples here, as you can see. We're going to fill this whole thing up. So here's an example, shor ish. Now, this is, you see the arrow, everybody? This is Hebrew. So we're going right to left, yes? Right to left. Okay, so shor ish. Shor means an ox, ish means a man. So, woodenly, this is an ox, a man. But by putting them in this relationship, it's an ox belonging to a man, a man's ox, okay? Now, if we want to say the ox, it's a specific ox, we can't actually literally do that in Hebrew grammar. What we have to do is say the man. And so if we say the man, well, I'm going to use a different example here, Shem Ha'ir, name the city. So the name of the city. Notice how the is actually literally attached to the city, but it is shared by the supported noun. That is shared backwards, like some kind of weird transitive property. All right. So what that sort of means is there is no way to say unambiguously a name of the city. Okay, that's going to be important here in just a minute. Another example here, how would we say something like, the king of Israel? The king of Israel, all right? We say that, Melech Yisrael. Oh boy. In English, it's definite. There's no ha in there. But Israel is a proper noun, and proper nouns are inherently definite. So this is the king of Israel. It's also a king of Israel, right? So if I want to say an Israelite man or the Israelite man, we say Ish Yisrael. No difference. So if I'm trying to tell a joke, you know, Ish Yisrael, Ish Moab, Ish Ammon, walk into a bar. Ish Yisrael says, so I don't, in English, I'd be switching back and forth between the man and a man. After I introduce him as a man, I'd switch over to the man. In Hebrew, we don't change the wording there. And then what I was saying about adjectives becomes important here at the end. And that is, in many cases, since we don't have certain adjectives that we might want to use in biblical Hebrew, instead what we do is bind nouns together. So you don't literally say in the commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness. What you literally say is, thou shalt not bear a testimony of falsehood. Right? Or a testimony that is characteristic of falsehood, or that has characteristics of falsity in it. All right, so that's how we compensate for the lack of adjectives a lot of times in biblical Hebrew. Okay, now, I know that is a lot of Hebrew to hit you with, but it becomes important because one of the implications for what we're studying this afternoon is this. If we want to say a variety of things, if we want to say God's self, God's feelings, God's sort of internal experience of God, sense of being who God is, God's breath, which is usually used metaphorically to mean either a spirit or a non-corporeal entity sent by God, or a wind sent by God, or a God-like quality that God has infused, or if we even just want to say a really, really powerful gale force wind, we say those all exactly the same way in biblical Hebrew. All of those phrases are said by this little phrase right here, Ruach Elohim, or you might say, this Elohim might be replaced by the name of God, the four-letter name of God, or it might be replaced by Adonai, Lord. It could be replaced by a possessive pronoun like my or your. You could say to God, your Ruach or something like that. But all of these senses are expressed using these same pair of words. So, this now is where I exploit the fact that the name has changed from Bible Lectures to Harvard. And I'm going to stop lecturing for a minute. So instead, what we're going to do is, I'm going to ask you all to look at some passages. We're going to divide into groups. You'll look at some passages where the word Ruach Elohim or Ruach Yahweh or something similar appears. Each group will have two or three little paragraphs, and on the handouts there will be, the whole paragraph will be typed out, though I'm confident that you all have Bibles available if you want to look a little bit at the larger context. We will not have a lot of time to be able to do this, so you'll have to work fast. But everybody will be asked the same questions about different passages. And the questions are, as you read these passages, look for a Ruach in these passages, and what does it do in these passages, in these paragraphs? Second, in your judgment, which of various possible senses of these phrases seems to be at work in these passages? And third, how did you arrive at that conclusion, however firm or tentative it may be? So I don't know if we have exactly a multiple of five in here today. I counted about 35 or 36. I think there's supposed to be 35 or 36 chairs available, so maybe we have 37? I don't know. So we'll just do the best we can here. I'll try to give about seven copies of each color out, and I'll try to group you all together. I just, seven greens over here and so forth. So I'm just going to hand these out just as quickly as I can and give you about 10 minutes to talk about these things. So if y'all can find about seven people approximately,
Pardon me, sir. Bring the lights back up.
Let me have a white one, if you don't mind. And let's see. So that's 3 and 4. Yeah, that's about 7 people.
So if you don't mind sharing these, approximately 7 people. I'll see what Mr. Peter over.
Are you guys up here?
And if I
can
have
here.
So let's see. You may want to divide up differently. However is best, however you can best sort of group up
good, right?
Here. Let's come way over here and start with all.
Give you one.
Where should we start? The blue or the blue right here?
I wrote it down.
How many people have green? How many people have green papers?
Greens.
7 greens? We have 7 greens? How many ivories? We all have a good, are you able to sort of visit with each other there? And are our purples able to sort of visit with each other here?
Yeah.
Reds? So we've got to figure out which one.
Did anybody not get the color?
We're thinking that this one is the individual component or quality that you have.
I think we have blues.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. 6 blues, we've got like 8 blues, 9 blues, and only 6. Can I get y'all a BP?
That was the first one?
Yeah.
Right.
It's best if it's approximately even.
Is that not the same thing?
So let me invite you to take about 10 minutes to try to come to some tentative conclusions in your groups. And if you want to break down into smaller groups, if it's awkward for all 7 or 8 people to speak, just break it down into subgroups of 3 or 4. Just make sure everybody you're visiting with right now has the same color pages. Try to get, I heard something right here that I want to comment on real quick. Try to get everybody talking about all of them. Because the point really is to see what the commonalities are in some ways between the 3 passages.
What's that? It seems very
Is it a quality in Zechariah?
Are we missing anything that we're missing?
That's a very long the time.
I would think about like quality would be like, I mean, I would think of a character trait or something. You know, quality
and
quality.
But still, somebody's
going to
give it
to me. But God, like, I can't. But it's God. It's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's
not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not
like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's
not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not
like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's
not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not
like, it's
not
like, it's not like, it's not
like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's
not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's
not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's
not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's
not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not
like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's
not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like,
it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like, it's not like Everyone, I need to ask that the conversations die down now for a moment. Let me ask you to bring this particular conversation to a close just for a second. No, not yet. Because, Pat, this is the hard part. Okay, so this is the hard part. So, what I'm going to ask you to do now is scramble your groups and try to team up with people who have different colored papers. So ideally, you'll have a group of five, each person with a different colored paper. I don't think that the numbers and the distribution actually work perfectly for that, so don't worry about it if it doesn't work perfectly for that. But it's better to have a group that's a little bit too large that has multiple people with the same color than a group that's too small and only has four colors represented. So can you take a couple of minutes, wave your papers in the air, find people who have different colors.
I need a blue over here. And a yellowish.
My dear friends, and anybody else who might be hanging around.
In case you have not figured it out yet,
we can take a white.
He's got a white. Yes, that's because we're in a purple. So, for the next several minutes, what I'm asking you all to do is that each of you, now, not each of you literally, if there were a group of five, a perfect group of five, that had one representative from each color, then the ideal way to do this would be for each person to share with the others what your group did and what tentative conclusions you reached. So one person per color per group. Please share with the rest of your group what your previous monocolored group did and was thinking when I called. We'll take about 10 minutes for this as well. 10 to 12 minutes.
What is your
What did you think?
So I hope that that was a valuable learning experience for you. One of the things I learned was that this color purple does not show up very well in the light. I'm going to go ahead and dim those lights. Thank you, sir. Purple still doesn't show up very well, but that's all right. So if I could just have one volunteer from each color, and we'll go in a particular order by colors, by the way they were stacked in the folder a while ago. And there's also some canonical order in there as well. So if I could have just one person who had a green paper. Now, those who are working on the green papers, the passages mentioned on the green papers were Exodus 31 and 35, which is where Bezalel, remember Bezalel, right? Bezalel is crafting or being commissioned to craft the tabernacle, some of its furnishings. And then Zechariah chapter 4, where the context is Zechariah, the prophet, having a vision about Zerubbabel, the civic leader of the Judeans who have returned from exile, and they're trying to rebuild the temple. So could I just have a representative who had, somebody who had a green paper, just one person, share with us kind of where your group was thinking around this circle here.
I think I've been volunteered.
All right. Now, we do need to do these pretty promptly. We are getting lowish on time. So if you can limit yourself to about 1 minute, but just tell us which direction y'all were trending in thinking about Ruach in these passages.
Okay, we were seeing it primarily as the godlike quality being instilled in a person, the creative quality, because in each one of those passages, someone is accomplishing something, building something, shaping something.
And did you happen to notice that in both cases, they're not just building stuff and shaping stuff, they're crafting things related to the worship space, right?
For example.
Okay, fantastic. How about our, is this pink? Does that look pink?
Or is that ivory?
I'm not sure. Who had numbers 11? That was the ivory colored ones?
Yeah.
Okay, so numbers 11 is about Eldad and Medad. Remember those guys behaving somewhat unexpectedly in the Israelite camp? Numbers 24 is the story, part of the Balaam story. And 1 Samuel 10 is a little snippet from Saul's earliest encounters with the prophet Samuel. So who's going to give us about 1 minute from the ivory groups about kind of which direction y'all were leaning in these passages?
So we had a little disagreement there in the camp.
But so now we're the east side and the west side.
Now we're east and west. So it was a corporal spirit, God's being, maybe, or a godlike quality, and I risk of being kicked out, I say slash ability. So.
Okay, so you were quality. Kind of on this, in this
there you go.
Area down here, but we're having some trouble making specific distinctions, okay? Now, in case anybody didn't pick up on this, you know what's going on here is people prophesying, right? People prophesying because a ruach is influencing them. All right, so the purple or lilac group was looking at Judges chapter 11, which is Jephthah and his victory over the Ammonites, and it's got that rash vow that he takes in the middle of that paragraph. Judges chapter 14, the particular passage was Samson's victory over the lion, when he fights the lion. And then 1 Samuel 11 is the way Saul reacts when he hears that the Israelite city of Jabesh-Gilead or Jabesh-in-Gilead is under siege. And so, in all of these cases, there is a ruach that does something. Purple group, what does the ruach do, and which direction were you going in characterizing what that ruach is? One person with a purple page.
I got pointed at. So, in this case, the ruach incites someone to action, and they act strongly and rashly or quickly. And I think we were leaning towards a godlike quality. Because there's the super strength, there's the, the super strength with Samson, but also, like, Jephthah wins the battle and that kind of thing. And because with Samson, the wording was, Ruach Yahweh rushed on him, it did come up, was that, like, the wind? But I still think we could put them all in godlike quality.
Okay, so you all were tending that direction. And did everybody notice that what the Ruach does in these passages is to incite somebody to violence?
Yeah.
And generally to some kind that they wouldn't ordinarily be associated with. In other words, to a level of capability that they did not previously have. The blue team was looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16, which narrates a little bit about what happens to King Saul after he's rejected by God, and that news is delivered to him by Samuel. And 1 Kings chapter 22 is the story of Micaiah ben Imla, not to be confused with Micah, the prophet who has a book named after him in the Bible, but Micaiah ben Imla, who has a message for King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat. And this is that weird, weird story where Micaiah sees a vision of angels and spirits basically putting in bids for who's going to go down and make sure Ahab gets killed. And the winner is the one who will go down and force his prophets to lie to him. So, blue team, what did you see Ruach's doing, and which direction did you go with Ruach in this passage? One person with a blue page, please.
I'm it. It's the Spirit of God in 1 Samuel departs Saul. And then we had a little disagreement on this one. Either some kind of evil spirit then went into King Saul, or in my opinion, an evil disposition. And then in 1 Kings 22, that's an angel. And okay. This angel is going to enter a false prophet and cause him to lie.
Okay, so it sounds like you were kind of leaning this way for at least the newcomers. In these, the new ruachs that come, not the one that leaves, and you were thinking more
in terms of God's own self or presence for the spirit that leaves Saul. Did I have that right, more or less?
Correct.
Blue team? Oh, right. And then pink team, or sorry, this is lavender now?
No, this is pink.
This is straight up pink. Exodus chapter 15, the crossing of the sea with Pharaoh's armies in pursuit. And Isaiah 40, which is that famous line about, you know, comfort my people Israel. And then you have the line about how the grass withers and the flowers fade because of a ruach. Surely all people are grass. And then Hosea 13 also talking about the fate of Israel back in the 8th century. So, pink team, what does a ruach do and which direction were you leaning around this circle about sort of how to characterize that ruach?
I think we thought that most of them seemed like literal winds, mighty God-like wind, but perhaps metaphorical to describe the action of God.
Right, so would you say a physical wind sent by God? Or are you saying something a little bit different than that?
If I say yes.
You know, what I want to hear is what y'all were talking about. I think, you know, it's interesting that you see different things in different passages, right? And that's really one of the major things that I wanted to share with you is how much variety there is in this simple phrase and in the way the phrase is used. And so how important it is, you know, to think in terms of context. But now we come back to this question about not very many of you said that you were seeing God's own self or sense of identity or internal feelings in these particular passages. And in part because I chose passages where there were several passages I could cluster together and you would see something similar, right? And this expression does happen. So when we think about a Trinitarian view of Holy Spirit, can it be fairly non-controversial to say this is something that Jesus reveals that people didn't really know much about before?
Yeah.
Can we all be on board with that without too much controversy? Okay, so the truth of it is true no matter who knows about it, right? But what I'm talking about is what people understand, what people perceive, and what people talk about. So what about this phrase, Holy Spirit? Right? Do we encounter that anywhere in the Old Testament? Well, remember this chart from before? All right, if we were going to say Holy Spirit, what would we do? Well, what we would have to do is one of a couple of different things. A phrase that really does appear in the Bible is this one, Ruach Kodesh, Spirit something, some kind of implied relationship, and the noun holiness. All right, so this is not the adjective holy, this is the noun holiness. So Spirit of holiness, and that of could be almost anything that was on that previous chart before. Now, that's a spirit characterized by holiness. If you wanted to say the Spirit, like there's one in particular that's characterized by holiness in no other way, or in a way that no other spirit would be, no other ruach would be, what you would say is Ruach HaKodesh. And, you know, quite frankly, depending on what bookstores you shop at, you might have seen, you know, the phrase Ruach HaKodesh on a coffee mug or a poster of Names of God or something like that. Sorry, that doesn't actually appear in the Bible.
Really?
In the Old Testament. Where do we get it? From the Hebrew translation of the New Testament, the modern Hebrew translation of the New Testament. That's where that term comes from. It does not actually appear in the Old Testament. Now, there is a genuine adjective for holy in biblical Hebrew, which is pronounced kadosh instead of kodesh. So you could, in theory, say ruach kadosh, to say a holy spirit, or you could say HaRuach HaKadosh, to say the Holy Spirit. However, neither of those phrases actually appears in the Old Testament. So if you're looking for the specific phrase Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, you're only going to find it in this form, Ruach Kodesh, and then another marker right here that is a possessive suffix. So His Holy Spirit or your Holy Spirit is where you actually find it. And just one question, when we get out where those are, you find those in Psalm 51, which you may be familiar with already, take not your Holy Spirit from me, right? And in Isaiah chapter 63, which is where your eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. and the trapping out of the vintage of the Grapes of Wrath and all that stuff. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you about Psalm 51.
Let's look at Psalm 51 real quick. Because Psalm 51:11, in most of our English translations, reads something like this. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, this Holy Spirit, this is a tricky phrase in Hebrew, because it's Ruach Kodshakah. And what that means is Spirit of Holiness of you. Okay? Now, untangling that is a little bit difficult because there's basically two things that could mean. Spirit of your holiness or your Spirit of holiness. The your could relate to the Ruach or the Kodesh. And so it's a little bit difficult to kind of understand what that is. So just for a minute, let's just substitute in some Hebrew-sounding stuff right there. Let's just put Ruach Kodeshka right there where the English normally is, and look at the verses around it. Because that's not the only Ruach in this psalm. Right? Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, right? And put a new and right spirit, new and right Ruach, within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take Ruach Kodeshka from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain a willing Ruach within me. You actually have Ruach in all three lines, right? So taking this one line, and sort of thinking about it using our Christian vocabulary, it's easy for us to see the psalmist talking about the Holy Spirit as we think about the Holy Spirit in a Trinitarian framework. But what this psalmist seems to be talking about, rather seems to me, to lean much more in the direction of what we were calling before, kind of a personal quality that has been infused by God, okay, but is not the same as God's own self, right? But is this quality of rightness, of holiness, of willingness to be in line with God's will. So let's think about Isaiah 63 also real quick. Now, Isaiah 63 is a fairly long passage to go through in order to see everything kind of in its context. In Isaiah 63, the setting, so to speak, you have some group of believers. I think very strongly that we're talking about Judeans who have returned from Babylonia, or whose parents or grandparents, maybe, have returned from Babylonia. They're in the post-exilic generations, but they're looking back at Moses and the Exodus as a kind of analogy for the experience they have had of leaving Babylon. Right? So 63:7 starts, I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts, and all that that God has done for us. So I'm just going to start reading from verses 7 through 14, and at certain points I will put certain verses within that on the screen. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all in the days of old. But they rebelled. Now remember, again, this is many, many generations later looking back at the Exodus event. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. And therefore he became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Then they remembered the days of old, of Moses his servant. Where is the one who brought them up out of the sea with shepherds of his flock? Where is the one who put within them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to march out at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name? Who led them through the depths like a horse in the desert? They did not stumble. Like cattle that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. Thus you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. All right, so these are the other two examples where we have that phrase, Ruach Kodesh, in the Old Testament. And it is not altogether clear to me what to do with them in terms of that sort of wheel we had up there before, different senses of Ruach.
But I taking a cue from verse 9 is really insisting that when God delivered the Israelites with Moses in tow, that this was not a mediated experience. In a sense, God didn't send an angel to go do that. God didn't send somebody else. Well, I mean, he sent Moses, but not another different supernatural being or celestial being, might be a better way to say that. A different spirit, right? So what I see in Isaiah 63 is the sense, mostly, I think, the sense of God's own self. That his Holy Spirit, meaning himself, who has the quality inherently and unchangeably of being holy. And that there is this analogy being drawn between the Exodus generation and the poet's current generation, where the people are not behaving in appropriate ways, and they're looking for this sense of God being personally present among them. So, in my view, I would say that really this is probably the place where we get closest to the kind of Trinitarian view of the language, of using the language of Spirit to name God. But really, the Trinitarian concept of Holy Spirit is really a New Testament thing, and these other kind of things we've been talking about are an Old Testament thing. So we get closest to that sense of Holy Spirit as almost a synonym for God, if you will, in Old Testament language, in those passages where the Ruach of God is a reference to God's own personality, to God's own self, almost a synonym for God's presence in some ways. But most of the time, what we have instead, is when we encounter a Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, my Spirit, your Spirit, his Spirit, that kind of language. It usually, it seems to me, it's usually God sending one of these other senses of Ruach, be that a physical wind at the Exodus, be that this apparently either a corporeal being or some kind of disposition that torments Saul, any of those things, that God sends one of these other kinds of Ruach to, here's the common thread on all those pages, to effect some kind of transformation. Right? Now, sometimes this transformation is harmful to the person that's being transformed, like Saul. Or like the grass that withers and the flower that fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. But more often, it is some kind of enabling that person to do something that that they could not do. So, when we talk about the Spirit of God in the Old Testament, what's going on? Usually, it's God sending one of these senses of Ruach to effect some kind of transformation. Y'all, I have successfully reached the end of my planned comments 4 minutes, or really closer to 3.5, before the end of the class, which means I could, if you wish, entertain some questions. Please be aware, I proposed this topic because it fit the theme, not because I consider myself an expert on this particular topic in the Old Testament. And once again, here is, if you want to download the PDF version of the slideshow right here, bit.ly/OTSpirit18. Do any of you want to post questions right now or offer comments right now as we go? Victoria, you first. I know your name because it's on your name there.
I have a question. Can you speak a little bit more about that Isaiah 63 passage? Because it looks to me like most of the common translations I'm familiar with translate it, the angel of his presence saved them. But you opted for like the NIV's alternative of no angel. I was wondering if you could dig into that.
Yeah, if I had my Hebrew Bible here, I probably could. In Isaiah 63, I don't feel super confident that I know exactly what's going on. But I was really following, and all of the quotations up here are really I'm cribbing the NRSV, except where Ruach appears, and flipping Ruach. So that would be a good way to test whether or not I'm moving in the right direction, is to look more deeply into that.
Which version did you say,
NRSV.
New Revised Standard Version. Thank you.
The quote, something you alluded to, is sometimes that change or metamorphosis is going to be not great for the person receiving that Ruach, or the change is going to bring about some hardship. And we're usually not comfortable putting God in the place who is the one causing hardship to others. Can you speak to that a little?
Well, I can agree with you that we're usually not comfortable with that, Jill. But the ancient Israelites, I know your name because I saw it on Instagram.
Right.
But the ancient Israelites, or at least the biblical authors, were totally comfortable with that. Okay. And why are they so comfortable with that? Because they really are monotheists.
Yes.
And we have in some ways gotten away from that. To them, if in their mind, and according to the teachings of the prophets, if anything happens, where does the buck stop? The buck stops with God, right? So love to sing, you know, God is so good, God is so good, he's so good to me. We love to say, God is good all the time, God is good. We don't much like to quote from Isaiah, I am the Lord and there is no other. I make light and darkness. I make weal and woe. There is no other besides me. We don't much like to quote Amos, does a lion roar? You know, is a city destroyed if the Lord has not done it? Does the lion roar if he has no prey? So I would say that is a difference in our outlook, and that the ancient believers who bequeathed the Old Testament to us are really much more comfortable with God doing a broader range of actions than we tend to be comfortable with. And I think that's a challenge to us. How many times have you heard already in the first couple of days that the Holy Spirit is not domesticable, right? That God cannot be tamed. I think we maybe have just a few seconds left. Oh, do y'all want to arm wrestle for it? You, sir.
Just a quick question as far as where I can get resources to learn Hebrew. I'd like to go in to study the Old Testament. Or, you know, just get the basics of the language.
So, 3 seconds go. And yeah, so the honest truth is, the best way to learn Hebrew is to spend a lot of time around somebody else who knows how to speak Hebrew. Hebrew. It's not inexpensive. But the best way to do it is to travel to Israel and go to what's called an ulpan. Right, but make sure it's a biblical Hebrew ulpan,
right,
and you'll speak nothing but biblical Hebrew for like 3 weeks, and then you'll be able to read with some fluency. That is not practical for most people. So, you know,
right,
in many ways,
right,
like a college course is really usually the next best thing.
Okay.
Maybe there's a local synagogue that would offer a course, or something like that. It's a long process, it's a slow process, but the very best way to do it is in a group. It's really hard to do alone.
Thank you for all your work. This is
thank you.
Awesome.